Well, a warm welcome to you one and all. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, here at 93.6 FM, your Good News Community Radio station, based in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. It's Tuesday evening here with us, the 23rd of August, nearly gone this month, 2022. And it is our 50th program called At Ease. It made possible for us by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. And a warm welcome to you one and all, our regular listeners here at GNCR, and especially to all our veterans and our military people who have been tuned in at this hour or half an hour or so. And I trust that the program that we have compiled together for you and this evening will really be a blessing to your heart, and that you will be lifted up, and that God will be glorified, and that you will be encouraged and also challenged, because we have a wonderful lineup for all of us. Well, as usual, because our content providers really make sure that every Tuesday evening, this time, that we have something to process, something to think, something to meditate upon. And as a lineup for us tonight, it is our chaplain Ben Smith that's going to read for us out of Philippians 2 verse 5. I will also suggest that maybe you get a piece of pen, but a piece of paper and a pen together. And because for the news that will come and some of the news items to jot down. We have our Navy Band from the Chamber Group that's going to play for us too. Wonderful piece of music. We also have our testimony from the Military Challenge newspaper that's going to be narrated for us by Graham Wilson. Then, as usual, our two questions, a new presentation from the captain, our news by our regular news reader, Riri Mangani, and may God bless her as well. And then, yes, we will play out in our last of the Navy Band. So folks, sit back, relax, open your heart for the Word of God as it comes to us by Chaplain Ben Smith, as he's going to read to us concerning relationships in Philippians 2 verse 5.
Good morning, everybody. I trust that today will find you successful in every relationship that you have. Our scripture reading is taken from Philippians 2, verse 5. And the theme for this morning is Mindsets Drive Relationships. Before we get to the point what mindset we ought to have, you need to know what your current mindset is. It is indeed your current mindset that drive your current relationship, and only you can evaluate both. Usually people respond to what they receive and regard that as the most important determining factor in a relationship. However, it is not what you receive, but what you give, and it is directly linked to what you have. So here's the question: what is the mindset that you have, and where is the relationship heading? And I also have a suggestion to each and every one of us. The mind of Christ that you ought to have is selfless, humble, and obedient with a purpose to serve. Try it. It just might be the difference between a relationship heading for the rocks or rescue. You decide. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that we have no doubt what the mindset of ours should be. A mind that is inclined to be selfless, humble and obedient with a purpose to serve. And thank you, Lord, that we can know today my relationship is not driven by what I receive, but what I give. Allow me this day to give those things in my relationship that pleases you most. As I pray this in Jesus' name.
What mindset do you have? You know, I listened to the chaplain, mindset. It's something that you can say is, you know, it is set. Many people's minds are set in stone. To have the mind of Christ, and I think of what Paul many times say in Romans chapter 8 as well, that your mind be set on things of the Spirit. And that is so true. It all depends how and on what is my mind been setting on. Because it also can become a stronghold in our minds, especially when we set it on things of the flesh, things that is not the mind of Christ. And Paul said we have the mind of Christ. And we must really pray that God will give us that, and we will seek always that. And it's so prevalent that he said it is not what you have, it's what you give, that mindset. Because I believe God has given us so much that we can give it out. You know that by the time that we passed on into the next life, that there is, you know, I've got nothing left to give anymore. As Paul said, he poured him out as a drink offering, not keeping anything back. So I trust that this devotion by our chaplain Ben Smith was really helpful for us. And sometimes we struggle to have that mindset. You know, many times I think that when conflict starts, why must we always, display or demonstrate the works of the flesh or the mindset of the flesh, instead of the mindset of the Spirit, of Christ-mindedness, especially in conflict, especially when we claim that we are Christians. Why not be in step of the Spirit, in step with the Holy Spirit? Instead, we display the things of the flesh and say that is what is, you know what, the heart is only express itself through the mouth. And through our thinking, you change your mind, you change your life. That is what the saying is. Wow, I really trust that you enjoy that. Philippians 2, verse 5. And we must pray that God help us in this regard to really have that mindset. Folks, we're going to listen now here at 93.6 FM, your Good News Community Radio Station, here in the heart of KZN, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. I trust that the next piece of music from the South African Navy Band Chamber Group, they're going to play this song by Bach. And I trust that I pronounce this name of this piece of music, Badeneri. Badeneri. Listen to it. Many years ago, I couldn't stand this kind of music. Maybe I couldn't understand what is going on. Until later years, you know, that you understand, okay, this is music. And may God bless you as they also bless us with it. Let's listen to it. Thank you. A little bit different than what we used to, isn't it? I watched that on YouTube today, and man alive, you know, when to see those people with those flutes, and yeah, I'm telling you, they have the talent to do this, and so fast, and you know, not get strangled in between. God has really gifted some people with this talent. Yeah, the Bandoneri by Bach. Friends, you are listening to 93.6 FM at Ease program. It is our 50th program. Can you believe it? And it is, before you know, it's going to be December, the Lord's willing, and then we have to prepare again for our Christmas celebration of At Ease. Maybe you have to think already on what you know gonna, what we are going to do. And I want to salute all our content providers, really. We want to say thank you to you, one and all. And you are not being forgotten. And I know many of you work behind the scenes, and there's a lot to do. May God bless you as you unselfishly pour yourself out to make this program really a success. It's not about me. It's not about us. It is that God will be glorified. Friends, we're going to listen now to Graeme Wilson with a testimony. And I want you to listen to this testimony. When I listened to it a few times, I really touched my heart, really. Of a man, the theme of this specific testimony is answering a higher call from Mike McGrath. And I want you to listen as Graeme share it with us. Really, and because the reason why I say that, that it touched my heart, I don't want to give it away, otherwise I spoil the whole thing. So let's listen now to it.
The following testimony is taken from the military edition of the Challenge newspaper, the good newspaper. Answering a higher call. Cop Mike McGrew struggled to process the suffering he experienced on and off the job. When Mike joined the police force in the early 1980s, he found it came naturally to him. He liked protecting people and keeping them safe, and he found he had a cool head under pressure. However, the constant high-stress situations and confrontations with the worst parts of humanity wore him down mentally, leading to PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, two failed marriages and a dependency on alcohol to dull the memories. Growing up, things had been fairly easy for Mike. He had a happy home life, good grades, and excelled at sport. But when a bad hand injury put paid to a wrestling scholarship, he dropped out of college and joined the police force. He earned his first award for valor within the first few months as a cop by disarming a sword-wielding man without firing his weapon. I believed I'd earned it, and I was proud of myself. I was blissfully unaware of the evil I would encounter on the job or the personal agony I would have to endure, Mike remembers in his biography entitled A High Call to Duty by Sarah Bush. It wouldn't be the last time I was called to risk my life, but it was the closest I'd come to killing someone. It was also among the many cases that set into motion some bad habits that would lead to the end of my first two marriages. Those marriages did not have the shock absorber of faith to help them over the bumpy patches that Mike's current marriage to Nicole has. Growing up, God was just a vague concept to Mike. The first time he was exposed to the gospel, good news about life and death and resurrection of Jesus, was as a 12-year-old. His best friend's dad got pancreatic cancer and came to believe in Jesus during his battle with the disease. Mike says, while I didn't believe I needed Jesus in a personal way at the time, I never forgot those conversations about how Jesus was working in that family. As time went on, Mike had to deal with child molestation cases, gang and date rapes, the LA riots, gruesome murders, and hostage situations. Each left its mark on him and changed him ever so slightly. Each became another brick in the wall I began to build inside that would keep people out and my emotions locked up so tightly inside. Another strong influence for God in Mike's life was his cousin Dan, who consistently modeled a life of healthy perspective, ardent prayer, and persistent belief in a good God. Due in part, Mike believes, Dan's continual prayers, God began revealing his grace to me in the midst of the macabre. Even when covering the most tragic cases, I noticed something good would ultimately result. The other change that Mike noticed was that God began opening my heart for people in a way it hadn't been before. He began to see the perps as precious human beings who needed help, and to understand the distinction between good guys and bad guys was not always clear. By the end of the 1990s, Mike's career was advancing, but his home life was a mess, and his self-destructive behavior was not doing anything to deal with his pain and trauma. To add to the agony of divorce, Mike's youngest son, TT, was diagnosed with bone cancer at age 12. The tumor in his leg required amputation from the knee down and weeks of chemotherapy. He fought the disease, along with the prescription meds addiction, bravely and for 6 years. But when he turned 18, he could decide his own treatment, and TT chose to end the fight by overdosing. At the same time, Mike's eldest son, Matt, 15, was struggling with street drug addiction, for which Mike blamed himself, having set a bad example with his heavy drinking. I'd worked a lot of narcotics enforcement and could spot a drug deal a mile away, but when my own son was using right under my nose, I was blind, Mike castigated himself. When Mike admitted that the patterns and frequency with which he drank impacted his sons, he stopped drinking altogether. Once sober, I realized there were several other areas in my life that needed to change, he admits. Coming out of his second divorce, with TT still battling cancer and Matt doing drugs, Mike met a Christian woman named Nicole, who invited him to a worship band concert. During the concert, a pastor spoke, and I felt like he was speaking directly to me, and something inside me cracked. I finally saw the truth. Jesus is the only one who can save me. I decided then to seek the peace that the pastor spoke of. My cousin Dan explained Christianity to me and walked me through the steps to salvation. Accepting Christ died on the cross for my sins, asking him for forgiveness and committing to following him. Although Mike's circumstances didn't change immediately, his outlook did. I realized I didn't have to carry the weight of the world on my own shoulders. Jesus said to lay my burdens at the foot of the cross, and that's what I did. He brought peace amid my suffering and ultimately a purpose in this life. I began to ask God to speak to me and to show me how I could seek him each day. Mike married Nicole, and when TT died, he was able to lean heavily on her and on Jesus to get him through. God's grace gave him many assurances that his son was now in heaven. Before I'd experienced his love, I'd likely get angry with God and question his character or even his very existence when tragedy struck. Now I know a peace that transcends all understanding, and I know he has a purpose for my pain, Mike affirms. Since then, Mike has survived his own battle with cancer, started a new role overseeing police chaplains, and he's begun running a program to help law enforcement officers suffering from post-traumatic stress, and he's witnessed God's miraculous power in the lives of many people. Mike concludes his book by declaring, God is real. He speaks if we are willing to listen and obey. Everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. Amen.
We will never understand someone else's pain. And many times that pain is hidden, it's behind the smile. I think Proverbs say that too. We will never know that. Unless you're walking in that man's shoes or in that woman's shoes. If you listen to this testimony, there's a lot here. A lot. And then, you know, many people are so quick to point fingers and so quick to judge. So quick. You know, I said many times it is the Holy Ghost that is so quick to judge without even, you know, have all the facts. If you listen to Mike McGrew's testimony, you know, why did he do this? Why did he fall into PTSD? Why did he go drugs? Why did he go drinking? Why? You know, it is not so about, and I don't talk as an expert. I was an alcoholic myself. I'm not an expert of drug addiction and all these kind of stuff. But, you know, many times we are so stuck and looking so to the drug addiction that drug addiction is, it's only the fruit. It's only a symptom of something much deeper. And if you listen to this man's testimony, and you find so many inside it, it is like a scrapyard where all the damaged cars is. That his life is so like a crashed car. And it's the one wave on the other. And you know, until you come to such a point, from now you want to take your life out. You want to take yourself out. You want to murder yourself. That is what suicide actually is. It is a murder on yourself. Because you reach a point where you have enough. Life doesn't make sense. You feel you have no purpose. And you get hard and dead inside. All of these things are bigger than God. Well, God doesn't make sense to you anyway. You can't even see him because your troubles are bigger than him. But little did we know that God is actually bigger than our problems. But one will never know unless you were there. Unless you were there. And he have the hope. You know, you can try. You can try, and I say thank you, Lord, for the medical department and for all these people who try to help us, our veterans, and help our military forces and our armed forces. Doesn't matter on which armed force you are. Even in the traffic department, I have a friend in the traffic department. He was a high-ranking officer, and he was, you know, he was a chief in charge over a few people. And then when they call him, then you must know. They call him for this worst case scenarios. He said you get in later on so numb and dead. You are actually so wounded inside. Because the accidents and the scenes at the accidents is gruesome to look at. And you have to, and I don't want to be graphic, and you have to sort all of those stuff out so that the road can be cleared and people can go on with their normal lives. But inside, you carry that wound, you carry that trauma, you carry that, you know, sometimes I don't have words to express these things. And then you wonder why people act like what, you know, the way they act. And I don't say it is a license to go and drink. It is a license to go for drugs, or it's a license to kill yourself and all of these. It's not what I say. It's just that things get so out of proportion that you can't think straight anymore. And especially if things go wrong at the home as well, a place where you need to find safety and solace and camaraderie and all these wonderful things, and there is hostile as well. You are being bombarded always, all the ways around. Where do you run to? Especially for those who do not know Jesus Christ as the one to run to for the hope. That's why I said, I don't want to jump the gun. Listen to this man's testimony. And maybe there are a lot of people that can testify and can say, but I can identify myself with Mike McGrew. There's hope for you. Don't go and hang yourself. Don't go and cut your wrist like I did. And praise God, it was unsuccessful. Don't do that. Don't try to ride off a cliff. And I don't want to give you ideas. Because there's hope for you. And the only hope that there is Jesus Christ. I trust that you maybe there are someone just now, right here, right now, listening. And say, but I am that one. I may be on the brink of just take myself out. Don't do that. Please call us here at GNCR or for the South African Military Christian Fellowship. There's help for you. I tell you in Jesus' name, because he helped me where I tried to commit twice suicide and it was both times unsuccessful. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it except until I know my purpose and say, God has protected me that I don't kill myself. That's why today I can say these words to you. You are in that pit, and the only thing that you can see is this black walls of this pit. Look up. You will see the light. Folks, I really trust that this was a blessing to your heart. It grips my heart to see how many people end up, they are no more, because of things that happens in their lives. And they couldn't find a hope. And maybe there are a lot of Christians who know these kind of people and they don't share the hope with them. And that's why I come to the next presentation that we have on our schedule. And I want you to listen to this presentation.
Listeners, these past 9 months or so, we've heard the two questions, these two spiritual questions regarding where you stand before Almighty God and the gift of eternal life. The first question being, have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? And the second question, suppose you were to die and appear before Almighty God and he were to ask, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? Two piercing questions that need an answer, in which prayerfully you can now answer, or you were able to answer. But now the question being, don't you want to ask people those questions that you know and want to know, where do they stand before Almighty God? Diagnostic questions to ascertain where they stand before God and perhaps help them to find salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So perhaps you're in a foxhole, perhaps you're in a car or an aeroplane, you have a few moments with someone, you might never see them again, but you felt led to share the good news with them. So how do you do this? Maybe it's also just with a neighbor. It's going to take over a few months. You can ask the two questions. And of course, one's got to earn the right. You can't just go in there guns blazing, so to say. It once happened at a Bible college where this outline was being taught. And they went out for practical training, got into a taxi, and the one student straight away said, suppose you were to die. And of course, the one person in the taxi got such a fright that he jumped out, slid open the door, and got out the first opportunity, worried that he was perhaps going to die. But of course, the question had been asked too quickly, and the right to ask the question had not been obtained. So over the next few months, we'll share how to share the two questions in the gospel. But we'll start tonight then with developing a friendly relationship. So this is critical. You know, also walking the talk. You've got to set a good example. People must see in you the love of Christ. They must see in you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the first point would be a sincere interest in the person's life. Ask him questions like where he went to school, why he joined the military, or the job that he's in. But taking a sincere interest, not just quickly, but taking some time to get to know him better. And sincere listening, not just what's the next question or what next in developing a friendly relationship, but sincerely listening to his answers. And perhaps he's telling you about his grandmother that died or the financial situation he's in. And these are things that you can help with later. So listen sincerely that he can see that you take an interest in him. And sincere caring that there's follow-up and that you really, he heard what he had to say and you want to care and be there for him. And of course, this all goes about the Holy Spirit helping you, that you're dependent on the Holy Spirit helping you through this time. And so you'd be perhaps silently praying, others praying for you, knowing that you love to share the gospel, and you get prayer partners. But the first point then is developing a friendly relationship. And so I'd like to leave that with you, that before you ask the two questions, that you develop this friendly relationship with people. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes that it takes, or it might be over a few months, but you might only have that moment in life, that opportunity that is there and then gone, that you meet this person. And then you've sown seeds in his heart, the two questions, and the Holy Spirit, of course, dependent that he will continue to speak to this person's heart afterwards. So thank you. So take that to heart, developing this friendly relationship, that you can earn the right then to ask the two questions that you'll come to in a few weeks' time. I thank you. Every blessing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Attention!
Good evening, South Africa. Good evening, listeners of At Ease FM. Riranzu Manganyi, your news reader. We pray for the peace and an end to the terrible war in Ukraine, as well as the peace and conflicts in other areas of the world. Let us continue to pray that the soldiers fighting on both sides in Ukraine tend to and find comfort and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their safety and the gift of eternal life in heaven, that they will have the peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ Jesus the Lord. We, the SAMCF, continue to praise and thank our Heavenly Father for a blessed and successful 10-day show and tell promotion trip to help establish SAMCF committees in 5 other South African provinces. The Reverend Max Mupondi from our AMCF Principal Support Organization joined our National Executive Director for the 5,500-kilometer trip. Your prayers are please requested for the follow-up and the trip that our newly established committee will go to from strength to strength in their individual provinces. The trip also allowed Peter and Max to visit Lesotho. Their visit was very well received by the Lesotho Chaplaincy and the approval and go-ahead of the Lesotho Defense Force Army Commander. The Association of Military Christian Fellowship Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus cleansing from all sins. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations, and grant that we know the joy of being in one in Christ Jesus may be filled with your love and pass it to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit until his coming again. Amen. Please pray for the SANDF and other South African troops presently deployed to northern Mozambique to conduct the peacekeeping operations. Pray also for the naval and the air support, as well as the medical staff, all serving in the different areas of operation. Planning for the Regional Association of Military Christian Fellowship in Narration, which is again taking place in Madagascar from 8 to the 15th of October 2022, continues to go well. Military ethics will be a new subject included in the program. Please pray for the preps to go well, and please consider financially supporting a delegate or delegates to attend from South Africa. Our SAMCF please need financial support to send two naval petty officers to Madagascar to attend the inauguration. Do consider whether you might help financially towards the airfare. We please value our listeners' prayer for this news item. We thank God for our SANDF chaplains. Please join us praying for their ministry and services in the SANDF. The SAMCF Working Committee will meet on the coming Saturday, 27th August, to update our constitution as well as discuss a few other matters if the time permits. Please pray for our deliberation and work on updating our SAMCF constitution. Please consider how you listeners might become more involved in supporting the ministry of the SAMCF in the SANDF. This might be through prayer, financially, or other means. Let us know and we will further interact and contact you. Your support will be very much appreciated. I thank you. Have a good evening. And remember, our contact details are 062-028-7546. I repeat, 062-028-7546. Our email address is smcf3@gmail.com. I repeat, smcf3@gmail.com. Our email address is atis@gncr.org.za. atis@gncr.org.za. And you can also contact us on our messenger at our Facebook page at South African Military Christian Fellowship. Good night.
Well, folks, we come to the close of our program. I just want to say thank you to each and one of you who listen and tune in. Please continue listening. Don't put off your radio or wherever you are unless you have to and other duties is waiting for you. But otherwise, leave that dial and may God bless you with all the other content that is compiled for you to glorify God and also to... the Bible say, build each other up in their most holy faith. We're going to play out now by Franz Anton Hofmeister, the song from the South African Navy band from the chamber group called Rondo. Folks, I greet you all in Jesus' name. Until the Lord's willing, next Wednesday, the same time, the same place, be at ease until we meet again. Bye-bye.
Thank you.